Well, hi there, everybody. This is Pastor AJ coming to you once again from South Granville Church. I hope that you and your family are well, having a great summer. And I want to say thanks again for listening as we continue our series, working through the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. So before we get into the fruit of goodness today, I want to just again say thank you for listening and encourage you, if you have benefited from these podcasts at all, please share them with friends and relatives, especially people that you know who may be looking for a church home or asking spiritual questions. We are producing these resources not only to help our own congregation to stay more connected, but also to continue to provide a gospel teaching and encouragement to people outside of South Granville Church. So please continue to email and share these on social media. And if you have questions, if you've been listening and you've got things that you're wondering about or have been stirred up during this series, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, Pastor AJ at southgranvillechurch.org. We'd love to interact with you and hear more about where you are coming from. Now, today we are looking at the fruit of goodness from Paul's list in Galatians chapter 5. And I think this is a really interesting one to think about. Because when I say that our lives should reflect goodness, or that we should be doing good in the world, you will probably nod your head and agree, right? That's not a very controversial thing to say. But if I asked you to define goodness, or if I said, okay, explain to me what it is that makes something good, what would you say? It's hard, right? It's hard to know exactly how to define what good is or what good we should be doing. We say that things are good all the time, but we don't always have a precise definition or a way of explaining what goodness is. And so I want to look briefly at Scripture in order to get our bearings today and get a sense of what Paul means by saying we should grow in the fruit of goodness. Now, when you look at Scripture, one of the things that we learn is that God Himself is good and that He is, in fact, the source of all goodness in the world. When you read through the Psalms, for example, over and over, we're told that God is good and that He is worthy of worship. God is merciful and kind. His actions are good. But even in and of Himself, because He is Lord and King of creation, because He is the one who gives life to the universe, He is the source of all that we have and all that we are, He in and of Himself is good. And so any definition of goodness has to stem from an understanding of who God is and how He interacts with His creation. In the Gospels, Jesus Himself says in Mark chapter 10 that no one is good except God alone. All that Jesus does is meant to be an extension and really a reflection of God's goodness. And by looking at Jesus, we get a picture of who God is and how He responds to us as His people. So looking at the Gospels and Jesus' life, looking at the way Jesus heals and teaches, these stories also give us a better definition of goodness. We look to Christ in the example that He set, and ultimately, we look to His death and resurrection on the cross in order to understand what it means to be good or to do good. And then, of course, when you think about Genesis 1 and the creation story, we see that all of the earth has come from God's will, and God Himself says that the world is good, that what He has created and His designs are good in and of themselves because they have come from Him. And so when it comes to the fruit of goodness, if we were going to say, okay, how do you define good or goodness? I think we can define good as that which is of God. The fruit of goodness is about growing in our capacity to do God's work. It's about learning how to live according to His will. And as His people on earth, It's about bringing the creation more in line with his good design. And so in that sense, the fruit of goodness is connected to some of the other fruit in Paul's list. It's connected to the ideas of faithfulness and self-control, things that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. But growing in the fruit of goodness really means growing in our desire to do what God would want in any given situation. And so as we go through the series, we're thinking about how we can cultivate the soil, so to speak, in order to see these fruits growing within us. We don't will ourselves to greater virtue, but instead we open ourselves up to God's Spirit, and we allow God and ask God really to be at work within us to grow these fruits more and more each day. And so when we think about goodness, one of the things we want to think about is what is going to make it easier for us to live according to God's will? What are the influences or the habits? What are the voices that can speak into our minds and our hearts that can help us to value God's will above our own? What are the things we need to put in our lives to help motivate us and help us make sure that God and his desires are more important than even the things that we want ourselves? How do we practically learn to put God first in all that we do and desire his will above anything else? So in order to get at this practically, let's think about a more concrete example. One of the underrated ways that we can evaluate our spiritual life is by thinking about our relationship with money. Because money is something that we all have to deal with, and it's also one of the most talked about topics in the whole entire Bible. Money was top of mind for people in Jesus' day, and it's obviously very important for us today. And no matter whether you are coming from a place of having a lot of money or a little bit of money, it's something that we wrestle with, and it's something that can create temptation within us. So if you think about the fruit of goodness, if I want to practice goodness with my finances, then I want my spending to be reflective of God's desires and kingdom priorities, right? I want you to be able to look at my checking account and see that I am in relationship with God and that the things he values are things that I value. But in order to do that, I have to really guard myself from certain habits or certain voices and influences that are going to make it harder to put God's desires above my own. Because when you look at Scripture, there are some general principles that begin to emerge when it comes to spending money in line with God's will. God's desire is that we would understand that what we have is a gift from Him, that we are not owners, but that we are really stewards, that God has given us these resources for several purposes. God obviously wants to take care of our own needs to make sure that we have food and shelter and medicine and education and all these things that we need to function. But then God also desires that we would be generous with what we've been given, that we wouldn't be overly possessive with our money, but that we would be willing to share with people in need, and that we would be also willing to contribute to ministry and kingdom work happening both locally and around the world. And so God has a clear way for us to be using our money. Now, we might debate exactly how much money it's okay to have in savings, or how much you should be giving to the church or giving to missionary support, or you know what is and isn't okay in terms of a standard of living. And that's fine. There's plenty of discussion around that. But any Christian should be able to open their bank account and show how these kingdom values are being put on display, that I am showing the fruit of goodness because I'm responsibly caring for my family, I am being as generous as I'm capable of being, and I'm being wise and not using resources on things that are frivolous or making bad investments. Now, if I want to do that, it's going to be a whole lot easier if I am putting voices into my mind and my heart that are going to encourage me. If I am surrounding myself with other Christians who are being thoughtful and intentional about the way they use their resources, it's going to be easier and motivating for me to do the same. If I am spending time with God, reflecting on Scripture and thinking about His values and the needs of the world, then again, I'm going to be more motivated and more likely to practice goodness in the way that I'm using my resources. Now, by contrast, let's say I'm not spending a lot of time in Scripture, but I am spending a lot of time window shopping. Let's say I'm reading about the newest model of a car that I really want, or I'm spending a lot of time looking at different products or, you know, toys that I would love to have. Or let's say I'm spending a lot of time around people who maybe are not as responsible with their money, people who are not pursuing God in the same way, people who are living for themselves, spending according to their own values or to prop up their own status. Well, if I'm surrounded by all of these inputs, then it's going to be a lot harder to be motivated to do good, right? I'm going to be tempted to spend money differently and ultimately to serve my own desires and my own purposes rather than serving God. Now, it's like this with everything. If I want to be good in my work, if I want to be good with my family, then when I am inputting things that help me spiritually, it's going to be easier to do that. The fruit of goodness is more likely to be on display in my actions when there are voices and encouragements and teachings that are leading me to pursue God. But if I am spiritually kind of undernourished, if I'm not listening for God's voice, if I'm not reading Scripture, if I'm not spending time with Christian friends, if I'm not allowing others to speak into my life and to challenge me, well, then it becomes much harder. In every sphere of life, it becomes harder to do the things that God would want me to be doing. And so you might be thinking about any number of different scenarios as you listen to this, or any number of different parts of your life where you want to bring yourself and your actions more in line with God's will. You want to practice goodness and make sure that you're doing what your Father would want you to do. But no matter what specifically that is, I think it starts by reviewing the voices and the influences that we're allowing into our lives and asking, are these things helpful or are they hurtful? Should I be listening to that person? Should I be watching that TV show? Should I be spending so much time on the news? Should I be shopping or, you know, browsing online as much as I am? Are there things that I can replace those things with that are going to ultimately help me pursue God and desire to do what is good? Are there friends? Are there teachings? Are there books and podcasts? Are there resources that will nourish me and challenge me and remind me that God's will is better than anything that I may want on my own? I need those voices constantly speaking into my life to correct me and guard me from temptation. And so this week, I want to invite you to evaluate who and what it is that you're listening to. What are you spending a lot of time on? Whose voice are you giving influence over your heart? Are there things that you need to replace or things that you need to just put aside and let go of for a while? Are there ways that God is inviting you to draw your attention back to Him and allow His voice and His people to speak into your life and motivate you, encourage you, and empower you for doing the good that God has called you to do? Let's pray together. God, we are asking and praying for more of the fruit of goodness as we listen to this today. We are asking that you would grow our capacity to do your will and to do what is right in any and every situation. Father, in our family life, in our work, in the way that we spend our time and our resources, help our number one desire to be to honor you, to do what you are calling us to do, to see the opportunity and to rise to the challenge as we seek to be your people and represent you well in our community, in the lives of people around us. God, would you give us courage to turn from sin? Would you help us to be discerning about what voices we do and don't allow into our hearts? Would you show us how to use our time and our energy in constructive ways? And Lord, would you help us to know, as often as we need it, that you love us, that you forgive us when we mess up, and that you are continuing to walk with us, to encourage us, and provide all that we need to be the people you have created us to be. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in relationship with you, and we pray that you will help us to do what is good as we go into this week and beyond. And it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Well, friends, that's it for us this week. We will be back next week with another installment. And again, if there is anything on your mind and your heart, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We are here for you, and we are praying for you. Have a great week.